So if you're not there already, please turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, as we continue through our look at the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Sir Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful that you are with us in all of life. Grateful that you walk through us, Lord, in life and in death and everywhere in between. And that you love us, that you care for us. And we're grateful, Lord, that you have made us a church family, a larger church family, but also a particular church family, Lord, to walk through life together. Thank you, Lord, for the love that's expressed across our congregation, for the joy of being together, the joy of being back together for some, for the joy of serving you and of worshiping you and of looking to you together. So, Lord, would you continue to speak to us now, Lord, as you already have as we worshiped. Now, as we look at your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a couple of weeks ago, Rooted Youth started off a lesson, as I have been told, with a couple of cups. Am I correct? Some of you in the back row there, they had a couple of cups. And one of those was very dirty on the outside, but really clean on the inside. The other one was really dirty on the inside, but really beautiful on the outside. And the leaders asked them, now, which of those two would you like? And what did they say? Oh, I think they wanted the, at least, I don't know what they said. I think they wanted the clean cup on the inside, at least. That's what I would want. I do care, but I'd rather have it clean both ways. But if I got to choose, I'd rather take the one that's clean on the inside and dirty on the outside, because if it got it dirty on the inside, it's like, yuck, I don't want anything to do with that. And yet, that's what was going on with Sardis, was that they were beautiful on the outside, but they were really bad news on the inside. They were dying inside. Really, they are sort of a reflection of a city that was dying on the inside. And Sardis had a great reputation as a city, but they had problems within. And their church had the same problem, had similar problems, beautiful on the outside, but dying within. And it's easy for a church, you know, to have a beautiful building, maybe beautiful reputation, maybe a nice sign, but to have problems inside. You know, if Jesus was to write the letter to the seven churches today, I wonder, he could come. He could come right to our area, couldn't he? He could walk, go up and down the streets of Helam and Wrightsville and York and this whole area of South Central Pennsylvania, and he would look at us. And, you know, he would probably see, I understand nationally there's about a 40% slide in church attendance. Some of my big church friends, they say, even from out of state, that's what they say has happened. And there's various responses to that. Some trying to get things going like they were. Others saying, well, maybe God is saying that we need to do something new, but a lot of sifting that's happening, a lot of adjustments that are happening. And yet if the Lord was to look at this, he would say, okay, now here's how I think things are going. It would be interesting to hear his voice on that. And here's the prescription that I have. Here's the way that I think that you should go. But if he was to look at us today, I wonder if he might say, you know, sometimes you look really good on the outside, but what you need to do is look on the inside. Let's look at this diagnosis. This is like each of these seven churches. He's got a diagnosis and he's got a remedy. Okay, and we'll get a button that goes. Whoop, there we go. So his diagnosis is that they were well known. Things were really good. Everybody knew about this church. But that they had a problem inside. There have been so many of these situations among the athletes, young athletes of our world, it's hard to know who to pick. I looked at, about a year ago, there was another athlete over in Philadelphia playing great ball. But they lost him. Because he looked great on the outside, but his heart was dying on the inside. And that's what Jesus says often happens to his church. Vance Havner was an old country preacher. Long ago, with the Lord. But he pointed to the life cycle that often happens in a church. He said that often what happens if you got somebody that starts a church, and then it becomes a movement. So everybody's excited about what is going on. And then things are put into place. There's organization that happens. And so then it becomes a machine. But then he said what happens is, you imagine this old country preacher with his twang saying, then you got a monument. And that's when things die. That's what had happened at Sardis. Sardis had gotten to the monument stage. They were worshiping at the monument. But they left Jesus alone in the sanctuary. They left Jesus alone on his throne. Jesus was walking among the churches with his seven stars, his seven spirits. The angel whom he was directing. And the Spirit of God who had come to empower his church. But they had left Jesus aside. And they were worshiping at the monument. It's easy to forget about worshiping Jesus and to worship our church, isn't it? Our church has been around 30-some years, had some wonderful, wonderful things. We've got wonderful years. I have never verified this, but someone told me that some years ago that our church was the fastest growing church in, I don't know if it was Pennsylvania or in this part of the country or something. And, you know, all kinds of things that were happening, it was filling up. Lots of wonderful youth group things, and it's easy to look back and say, "Well, I'm excited about what happened there," and to worship what was, or maybe another place where we worshiped, maybe in the area, maybe some place where we grew up. The wonderful things, and I have to say, I'm getting old enough. Things were probably always better or not quite as good as we remember them to be. You know, we polish the brass a little brighter and brighter and brighter, and sometimes when I talk to Maureen about something in our past, she'll say, well, remember that this was happening as well. But we worship a monument, a something in our past. Or maybe it's something on the other side of the country, or something in these days on the internet, or some something or some person, even our own family of churches. Look at the past. Look at what's happening in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, a wonderful family of churches. But to worship a denomination or a church or a ministry, and to leave Jesus aside, to forget about Jesus, that Jesus is the one that we worship. And when Jesus looks at us and he sees us worshiping essentially ourselves or others like us or things that he might have even done in the past, he said, you got a heart problem. He said, I want to revive your heart. Because worshiping the church itself, instead of Jesus, is deadly. And he says there's a better way. The better way is to wake up. Those of us who are coffee drinkers, you know, we can't wait to hear it, to smell that smell in the morning. You know, the coffee's perking. Okay, it's that you just smell the stuff. It's like, oh, finally my day can get going. And Jesus says it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. You see, these letters that he has, are these seven letters are warnings about reality in his church. Some of you remember back when living rooms, the living room was a room, or any of you remember parlors? Some remember, I don't remember a parlor, but I remember when living rooms were room that were like nobody went into. I mean, you didn't dare go in the living room. There was breakable stuff in there, and that's where grandma came, or the really important company. That's where the adults went, and you were sent up to your bedroom, you know, or some families had parlors in the really old houses, and that was just a place, you know, maybe the minister would come there. Oh, heavens, you know, and his wife, you know, and that's where people came. But you avoided you avoided the living room. And then a while back, somebody invented family rooms. And I can remember when they invented family rooms. And so you had for a while, a lot of houses, they had the living room, and that was, in that day, the reason you had a family room is because that was the fancy place. That's where you kept nice for grandma when she showed up. But in the family room, oh, that's where the pizza was spilled all over the room, and where there were Legos all over the floor, and toys and dolls and trucks, and where the kids were fighting, and I mean that was the place where you lived life. And Eugene Peterson, the guy who translated the message, he said that's what Jesus is what these seven churches are about. The seven churches, he said, are the church as it really is. We're living life together, and we're a bunch of broken people, and there's toys all over the room, and we're messed up, but we need Jesus. And that's what these seven churches are about, Eugene Peterson says. And so in Ephesus, you got a church that started out with a deep love for Jesus, but somehow gotten distracted into lots of other loves. You remember that? And then there was Smyrna. Smyrna that had all kinds of tough things going on. This early church, I mean, many of these people were losing their lives or their livelihood because of their faith. And so they were struggling, but Jesus said to them, as he walked among the churches, he said, remember the wealth that you have in me. You have the riches of heaven that you can draw from. He says, just remember what you have in me. And then there was a church that was distracted. You know, worship Jesus, but worship the other things in life, and was distracted by the things in life. That was Pergamum, and they were morally compromising. And then there was Thyatira. Remember the big A, like in that famous novel, The Scarlet Letter, that we used to think about that. And they were tolerating Jezebel, the wicked witch. They were inviting her into their church and listening to what she had to say that was out to destroy. And the Lord said, get rid of her. Toss her out. He said, or I'm coming your way, and I'm gonna slice things up. And then today we come to Sardis. It's kind of proud of what's going on. But you know, really on the inside, she's dying. And Jesus says, I got something to say to Sardis. You see, what he's addressing in Sardis is our tendency to idealize the church. He's called us to worship himself, but when we idealize the church, what we're doing is we're creating another idol, and the church itself becomes an idol. So you come to Jesus and you walk in the church door and you expect that it's going to be heaven in there, in here, okay? And you look around and there's Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so, and there's all these folks that they love Jesus, and oh, they got no problems. Oh, they're wonderful. But then those of us who've been around a while, we know, well, you know, we got problems in here. And so we have a hard time idolizing each other, although we may still do some of that. But what we tend to do is idolize the past. And so we say, well, things were really wonderful back then and back there when we did this or when we did that. I read an article this week, a guy named James White from the Carolinas. And it was called The Community Fairy Tale. And at the top of the article was a picture of the Magic Kingdom, the castle in Disney World. And he said, you know, when we think about the church, he said, community is something that not something we find. It's something that we build. He said, community isn't something that's discovered. It's something that's forged. It's something that we work at. We work at community. It doesn't just happen. It's by the grace of God, something that he does within us. And we get our hands dirty as we're caring for one another, loving one another. That's why we do very deliberate things in terms of community groups and getting together with one another for coffee or calling each other on the phone. And we work things through. We don't just run down the street when we got problems. We work at things. Here he quoted from Hebrews in the Message. And it says, in chapter 12, it says, so don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Run for it. Work at getting along with each other. You see, the wake-up call that Jesus gives us through these seven churches is that we're not a bunch of angels worshiping. We're a bunch of sinners, and we're forgiven. And when we add grace to Jesus, we put Jesus and grace and us together, it's then that we give glory to Christ alone. As Jesus says something, as Jesus recreates himself among us. But all of the glory and all of the praise and all of the worship goes to him, not to what we're doing or who we are. And so he says, look at what is there and strengthen what remains. And so what we need to do is to go back into the sanctuary. Come back here and celebrate what God has done here. Now, a few of you have been here from the beginning. Others from near the beginning. A few of us, you know, later comers. But God has done some wonderful things in our church. And so let's celebrate those things. There's people that have come to Jesus right here. There's people that have been called and gone into ministry or further ministry or gone off around the world right here. There must have been some mortgages that have been burned right here. Because we don't have any mortgages. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And I think that you are too. We have some wonderful leaders and some wonderful servants of God that have moved on from here. We had some wonderful pastors. The president of the Christian Ministry Alliance and Ed Weibel, who I think is moving this weekend to a retirement home. And Pastor Pullen. Left here for Florida, down by a golf course, you know. Did a wonder, God really used him and his family here and others, many, many others, other leaders. Let's celebrate what God has done and what God has done in you and in many others, throughout the years. Let's celebrate and give thanks to God. But after we celebrated, let's bury the monuments. Okay? And whether those be things present or things past or present or future, let's bury them. And then say, Jesus, we're going to worship you and you alone. And Jesus, you haven't come back yet. And so you have made us part of your continuing story. And say, okay, we're going to join you in your continuing story and we're going to move on. And so that, my friends, means we leave the sanctuary and we move out into the building. We go out onto the beautiful gym that God has given to us. A place where God has worked. And we go throughout this building. I'm not sure what rooms the kids' camp is going to be in, but I'm guessing, is it going to be in here? Okay, so let's go to the youth room and let's go to the gym. And let's join in through our prayers or with our hands or with our feet or with our giving or our snacks or whatever we're doing. And join in to what God is doing. Let's join in to what God is doing with our rooted youth. Let's join in with what God is doing with our community groups. I could see the day. I would love to see the day when we have a recovery group here. I'd love to see the day when we have a grief share group here. I would love to see the day when our community groups become multiplying groups throughout our community, throughout our area. I would love to see a senior Silver Saints kind of group starting up again. And one that wouldn't just stay in the, one that would be in the building but, or somewhere else, but might multiply around and reach out to folks that are lonely, that have nothing like we have. Have nothing, don't have a friend in the world. But we could be friends to people in need and throughout our community. We're starting to use our building, to reach out to our community. Alan and Cindy have been leading the way with that, to see we get out of this room, to get into the foyer, to get into the gym, to get into the youth room, to get up and down the halls with the children, to get out on the property, to get out into the community where we got another mayor. Isn't this the second Helen mayor that's worshiping with us now? And we had a Wrightsville mayor for a while as well. Let's get out there. In the day when we sent some of our kids maybe around the world. Thank the Lord for some of our short-term teams. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some long-term missionaries that would come to get out of this, because the story is continuing. John said that he must become greater and we must become less. It is not about us. It is about Jesus. And so what happens if we smell a coffee? What happens if we say, okay, Jesus, this is all about you and this is all about your mission. We're grateful for the stuff you've done in the past, here and in other places. Thank you, God. Jesus, we've seen you present. But Jesus is still and forever only about you and only about drawing others in to know you and to follow you, to honor you, to preview your kingdom in this world. Well, he says, what will happen is we'll get a wardrobe. This whiter than white. I don't know when they invented a detergent, but right about that time, one manufacturer started pulling out a shirt and saying, "This white, my white is whiter than your white." And another one said, "No, my white is whiter than your white." And there were wars about who has the whitest garments that there are. And Jesus says, give me your clothes. Give me your garments. And he said, I'll make them whiter than white. He said, you don't need to go somewhere else. He said, what you need is me. You don't need a different Bible. You don't need a different Bible study. You don't need another set of friends. He said, what you need is me. And he said, I will wash your clothes so that they are whiter than white. And he said, what will happen? He says, I'm going to give you a name in indelible ink in the book of life. Now, what happened in those days was that they had these city registries. And everybody's name was written in the city registry. And when you died, somebody went into the city registry and they erased your name. Well, I don't know. I mean, they didn't have computers. You know, maybe they delete you now. I don't know. But you know what? Jesus said, in my book of life, he said, your name is always going to be there. And he said, I'm going to declare you before my Father and before the angels. I'm going to say, these folks at Valley View, these folks that love me, these folks that are following me in my church across the ages around the world. He said, look at them. They're there. He said, they're mine. I gave my life for them. He's not going to point back to the monuments that we have created here. He's not even going to pull out our membership lists. He's going to point to his list and say, I gave my life for them. And the reason for it is that Jesus is the one that gets the credit. It's that old doctrine we talked about, I think, several times already with these seven churches, that the old-timers have called the perseverance of the saints. We do not continue on because of ourselves and because of our own efforts. We got our names written in the book of life because Jesus paid the price on the cross. He washed us clean in his blood. And you know what? We don't continue on because of our efforts. The reason, and we do not live a wonderful Christian life because of all of our wonderful Bible studies and all of our wonderful churches and all of these wonderful things that we in our great wisdom have created. The reason why we continue on, and we got to get this, is because of Christ. Because Jesus is living within us, and Jesus is changing us, and Jesus is being formed in us. And it's because Christ is present that we are persevering and getting through things like surgeries in ways with Joshua 1:9 and other things. And the loss of those whom we love and hard things in life, in the messiness of life. We're getting through all of that because Christ is working in us, because Christ is preserving us, because Christ is keeping us and strengthening us to the end. So he says once again, whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the seven churches. What he's saying here is the inside counts. If we could forget about what's going on inside, then we're going to die. We will die. As followers of Jesus, or as a church, or as the church. But if we pay attention to the inside, then Christ will do something new and continue to change us to make us more and more like himself. So that even if we're, you know, looking a little gnarly on the outside, the inside will be beautiful. And give great joy and glory to Jesus. I heard about a man who was homeless. And a bunch of filmmakers went around at one point to film some homeless people in his city. And this man, this was about 50 years ago. And so they got the films back into the, you know, where filmmakers do their work, and they were analyzing the films. And they noticed this one man who was different than the others. Now, he was just as smelly and just as raggedy and kind of forlorn, but yet there was something different about him. And he had a song that he was singing. And he sang it over and over and over. And one of the filmmakers noticed that, and he separated it out from the rest of the film. and he looped it into a track. And he had it going on his machine. And he left the room for a minute and he came back. And the whole room was full, was crying. And so he went on from there and he developed it into a soundtrack, into an audio. And then that developed into many, many other things. It became a concert. It became in these days, all over YouTube, people reproducing this, some singing this simple little melody. And here was a man. He never found out about all this. He died. But even to this day, this man who had a beautiful inside, I mean, kind of a not so pretty outside, had a beautiful inside that gave great glory to God and encouragement to many. I'd like to play a short little one of those many, many renditions that were done. You'll hear his voice at the beginning, and then you'll hear another musician or two coming in toward the end. I'd like you to just watch this now and think about what God can do when he changes us and all of us from the inside.
Never found me yet. His heart fell on the ground. For his darkness, Jesus' blood.
So let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I confess I love you, church. Oh, Lord, forgive me for loving your church more than I love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us more than we could ever dream. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we so sense your presence with us. May we so love you. May we so honor you, Jesus, that our lives, our worship, our very beings would all be all about you. That you might shine brightly in a broken world, no matter what the outside may be. We pray in your name. Amen.